The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate of the law. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen Christ the Lord. And he came in the power of the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him in his arms and he blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go. I go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign which will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword shall pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There is also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at this very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child, spoke to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of the Lord was upon him." The Gospel of the Lord. This narrative about the presentation of Jesus in the temple is found curiously only in the Gospel of Luke. Now, that's an interesting discussion at another time, because Luke is a gospel written for the Gentiles, and in Luke he will frequently explain various laws and customs in the Hebrew tradition, because he was speaking directly to a Gentile church. But you might have hoped that this reference to fulfilling the law might have appeared in the Jewish Gospel of Matthew, but curiously does not appear there. It's found only in Luke. There are various themes running through this, you know, the identity of the Messiah, the holiness of Simeon and Anna, the custom of presenting the firstborn dedicated to the Lord, the firstborn of persons, but all the firstborns of animals, and the first, the harvest, the first gift of the harvest, all these things dedicated to the Lord. We have the notion of purification, the purification of the mother of Mary. That appears in the 12th chapter of the book of Leviticus, and a rigid part of the Mosaic law. And all of that is in here. But there's one theme that I would like to discuss briefly in a homily about the notion of seeing. I think one of the basic themes here has to do with the fact that only Simeon and Anna saw the messianic Jesus in the child. There were many other children presented at the same time. Many other persons saw the child Jesus at the same time, but only Simeon and Anna identified the messianic Jesus. It had to do with some deeper insight they had based on their prayer. Their contemplative prayer allowed them to have a deeper understanding of the grace and the gift of the moment. And this comes from something deep inside of them, something that is nurtured through mystical prayer. I mean, they prayed day and night. They were in the temple all the time. They had devoted their lives to the Lord, and somehow they were allowed to see with the eyes of faith. Now, that happens to us sometimes. Sometimes it takes a radical experience in life to prompt us to take a second look. It may be an experience of death, the death of somebody very close to us, that prompts us to stand back and consider again the meaning of life or issues in life. It may be some great failure we have in life, some reversal in life that prompts us to pause, not to react, but to wait, to pause and to reflect and take a second look. It may be some sin we have in our lives that upon reflection and owning the sin makes us more humble, more open to understanding other people. It may be a sickness, but some radical experience in life frequently prompts us to stand back, to pause, and begin to wonder, and may cause us to have a second look, to begin to understand life in a new way. I have a priest, good friend, good brother, who's a member of the 12-step program. He's a recovering alcoholic. And he will testify that the greatest gift that God gave him was his addiction to alcohol. But he only discovered this when he went through a great and radical setback in his life where he had to confront his addiction. And then when he joined the 12-step program, he took a second look, and it said it made him more humble. It made him more patient with people. He became more understanding, and what first seemed like a burden became a grace. What first seemed like a reversal, in fact, became a time of insight and understanding. That may happen to us in life. Look back over your life and see the weaving of God in your life. See the failures you had in your life. And I've done this myself. I look back over my life and say, wow, this was a great disappointment in my life. And upon reflection, when I look back on it and I pray over it, it takes on a different meaning. We belong to the cosmos. Thayer Deshadhan speaks about this. We're all part of the cosmic reality of God's creation. Therefore, we have monthly cycles. We are affected by the moon. We all belong to the seasons of life. We all have the springtime of life. Then we have the summertime, the glowing, wonderful moments. And then we have the fall, the failures, the struggles, the challenges of life, and we have a winter experience of darkness. And then we are renewed and somehow we come back in the whole cycle of creation. We have night and day. We have months, monthly cycles. Every one of us has somehow belonged to the cosmos. And keep in mind, when we damage the cosmos, we damage creation, we are wounding ourselves. It somehow affects us in terms of a wound. But we have to step back and reflect and take a second look before we can understand the seeing with the eyes of faith, seeing with something much deeper than the obvious and the immediate. In some ways, I think maybe the aging process allows us more insight. We have a longer journey to consider and to reflect. When we're young, we're dealing with the instant, with moments of achievement, with the challenges of tomorrow. But somehow we get to a certain place in life where you take a second look and you begin to consider things. And somehow we see in a new way. There's a biblical understanding of seeing. When seeing appears in biblical language, it's not just observing. To see in biblical language is to belong. Jesus sees the leper, and then he heals the leper. He belongs. He looks on the multitude, and he sees that they are hungry like sheep without a shepherd. And then he feeds them in a miracle. You'll find it in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, where two disciples of John the Baptist begin to follow Jesus. And he turns around and he said, "What are you looking for?" And they say, "Where do you live?" It almost feels like Jesus is Irish, you know, when they ask a question, he answers with a question. "What are you looking for? Come and see," he says, "come and see." And they went and they saw, they connected, and they became his disciples. One of them was Andrew. You'll find it in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John, where Jesus comes upon a man at the pool of Bethesda. He's been sick for 38 years. And it says Jesus sees him, which means he belongs to him. So when you see with the eyes of faith, you belong to the moment. When you see the other person with the eyes of faith, you belong to the other person. You somehow enter into the passion, the struggle, the celebration, whatever it is in the other person's life. When you see the other person with the eyes of faith in a biblical sense, it's about seeing. There's a parable story told about a monastery where they had a number of monks. There was one older monk, and he was born disagreeable. You know, you meet people like that, they're just born disagreeable. And he persecuted a young monk, and he was new to the community. And he would berate him, and he'd put him down, and judge him, and gave him a difficult time. So the young monk decided that he would leave and go on a retreat and then come back. So he went on a retreat, and he was led by a saying that comes from the 12th chapter of St. Paul's first letter to the Romans, which says, "Be transformed by the changing of your minds." He prayed over that, and in due time, he came back to the monastery, and he was subjected to the same treatment by the elder, disagreeable monk. And the old monk said, "You know, after all your prayer and your retreat, I don't see you any different." But the young monk looked at him and said, "I know, but I see you as different." He saw. And he believed it was different. Consider now, listening to the word of God here. In what space should you stand back and take a second look? Perhaps some anxiety you have, a fear in your life. Perhaps some great reversal you have in your life. Some trauma that has visited you. Perhaps a conflict. Perhaps there was a time when you thought you were certain that you were right. And now you stand back and you take a second look. And you begin to wonder, maybe you were not right. Maybe you were just arrogant. Take a second look. That's what the Word of God says today. Wherever you are in your life, whatever the issue that needs to be brought to prayer, bring that into the presence of God. Reflect on it. Don't react. Reflect. Bring it to prayer. Some disappointment, some conflict, whatever it is, pray over it and allow the Holy Spirit to give you insight. Not to take away, to change the landscape, but change the way I see it. Not to change the world, but to change the way I see the world. Maybe not even to change the relationship as it's given to me, but change the relationship as I give it to the other. That's what this gospel is about. It's about seeing the Messiah. And other people will miss the moment, but only those who have the insight of prayer and the gift of a living faith can see with the eyes of faith. Amen.